Begin the current daf, Maseches Chulin daf Ayin Alf. Begin four lines down from the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues from the discussion of the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had quoted Rabbi Yenison, who quoted from Rabbi Shmuel, that it says in the Torah regarding the laws of Tumas Nevela, regarding a dead animal carcass that it transmits Tumah, it says it regarding all types of animals, except for Chayat Tahayra Leila Manu. It doesn't tell us, it tells us regarding a non-kosher domesticated animal and wild animal. It also tells us regarding behema tahira, domesticated kosher animal that died, that it transmits tumas nevela, but it doesn't tell us regarding a chaya, a wild animal that's kosher, that when it dies, that it transmits tumah. Where do we know that from? So on that, Rabbi Shmuel had said that, and that's what our Gemara is going to clarify right now, the chayas b'chal behema and behemas b'chal chaya. When it says in the Torah chaya, it refers to behema, and when it says behema, it refers to chaya, and therefore, as the Gemara will also clarify regarding four different areas, you can learn that Behema Taira from Chayat Taira, Chayat Taira from Behema Taira, Chayat Tameya from Behema Tameya, Behema Tameya from Chayat Tameya. And one of those halachas is this halacha of Nevela, which is that it says by Behema Taira that it's Nevela transmits Tumah. So Chay is Bechlal Behema. When it says Behema refers to Chayat too, the Chay will have that same halacha as transmitting Tumah when it's a Nevela. Now that Agamar goes and clarifies, where do we know this concept from that the exposition of Rabbi Shmuel was based on, that a chaya is included in the context of behema? Says the Gemara, because the Chassid says the pasuk in Devar. It says, Zaysa behema asher techelum, these are the animals that you should eat. And it says, what animals? It says the terminology behema. So shor, an ox, seksavim, sheep, v'goymer, etc. Ayel, a hart, v'tzvi, and a deer, v'yachmer, v'goymer. Now, Haketza, how do we resolve this? When it refers to deer, there is a kosher chaya. How is it referring to in the pasuk as behema? It says the Gemara, chaya b'chal behema. Obviously, the chayas, wild kosher animals, or any wild animal for that matter, is included in behema. Now, the reverse, how do we know that too? Behema b'chal chaya b'nol. How do we know that when it refers to in the Torah chaya, it also refers to behema? Because the chesed is a pasuk in Be'yikra that says, Zaysa chaya asher teichlu, these are the chayas that one should eat. And it says, Mekala behema asher la'aretz, from all the behemoths that are on the earth, which are called mafreses parasa, if it has the kosher signs, which it has the split hooves. Now, from the reading of the pasuk, it sounds like, from any behema, then you eat if it has split hooves. Now, the thing is, but the beginning of the pasuk referenced chaya. It says, Zaysa chaya asher teichlu, and then explains, what are the kosher signs of a behema? Because it says, Mekala behema, which is called mafreses. So, Haketzad, how do we explain this pasuk? Says the Gemara, because behema b'chol chaya. And that is, so therefore, that's why it starts off saying Zaysa chaya, because yeah, the behemas, the kosher signs, are included in the terminology of chaya. And now that we know that behema is b'chol chaya, and chaya is b'chol behema, now we could explain all the types of halachas that Rabbi Shmuel mentioned, including the one that we had mentioned from Rabbi Yenison in the previous daf, as the Gemara explains. Now it explains all the four different cases that Rabbi Shmuel mentioned in the Braisa, what would be necessary to learn that one from the other. Says the Gemara, when Rabbi Shmuel mentioned that you could learn that Chayat Tahira is Bechlal Behema Tahira, that a kosher wild animal is included in the category of a kosher behema, that's L'Simanim. That's for the kosher signs, which the Torah doesn't explicitly tell us what are the kosher signs of a Chaya. It only says it by a behema, where we have a pasuk in Vayikra and in Mishneh Torah. It says, Kol Behema Mafreses Parasa. It says, Mekol Behema Shalot Kol Mafreses Parasa. So it only tells the kosher signs by a behema, but we don't know regarding a kosher Chaya what's the signs. But since we know that Chai is B'chal Behema, as we mentioned before, so therefore, like it says, Zaysa Behema, and explains, Ayal Tzvi and Yachma, which are Chayas, that's how we know that they're included in the kosher signs of a Behema, so too is what it's the kosher signs of a Chaya. Now, the truth is, we actually need Chai B'chal Behema, from a kosher Behema to a kosher Chaya, to actually teach the halacha we mentioned in the previous daf, which is why we even introduced this teaching of Rabbi Shmuel, to say for the Tumas of Nevelas, that we know that a nevela chay tahira, we only know it from a nevela behema tahira. Now, the truth is, we also need it for a different halacha of harva regarding mating, regarding what's considered the halacha of mating as forbidden mixtures. It only says that halacha of forbidden mating by behemoths doesn't say bechayas. The reason why we picked simanim is because each one is just picking one halacha. But you're right, there could be many different things we learn out from this halacha of chay b'chal behema and behema b'chal chaya. And we picked one regarding what we learn out chay tahira from behema tahira, but of course the halacha we mentioned in the previous daf is also true, which the halacha of tumas nevela, you also learn that from chayat tahira, from behema tahira. The next halacha, chay temeya b'chlal behemet temeya, what's the significance of learning out the non-kosher wild animal from the non-kosher domesticated animal? That's laharva. That's regarding the prohibition of mating, like we explained, because it only talks about the prohibition of klaim, of mating different types of animals by behema, which that behema doesn't differentiate between kosher or non-kosher. But it doesn't say anything about b'chaya, but again, chay is b'chlal behema. Now the truth is, there's another halacha that regarding this halacha of harva, would also, as we said before, regarding Rechai Torah, is only because we know it's B'chlal Behema Torah. But like we said, the Brice is only picking by each case one halacha, but there could be many different applications. Continues the Gemara, the next case that Yerushalma mentioned, Behema Temeya B'chlal Temeya, B'chlal Chai Temeya, what's the significance of saying that the non-kosher, the domesticated animals included in the non-kosher Chaya? That relevancy has Likud Rebbe. And for this teaching of Rebbe, because the time you learn the Braisa, Rebbe Yoimer, he says, Ekra ani, he says, I could read in the Pasuk regarding one of the, that you get a penalty of Karbon Eil B'Yerid, which there are a few unique halachas. Generally, if someone sins, he brings a Karbon Chatas or an Asham, there are some that he brings a Karbon Eil B'Yerid, depending how much money he could bring. That's why he says it goes up and down, Eil B'Yerid, if he's wealthy, animal, if less, then birds or flower offerings. So, by one of those that there is a halacha of Karbon Eil B'Yerid, the Pasuk says that Oy ben Nivlas, or it was regarding the carcass of a chaya, which the Pasuk there says that's Temeya, an unclean chaya. And the Pasuk continues, Oy ben Nivlas behemet Temeya, or in the dead animal carcass of a behemet Temeya, of an unclean behema, which we're going to shortly explain what is this violation that he brings the Karbon Eil B'Yerid for. But one thing is that it would have been enough, says Rebbe, to just say that the halacha applies to Neveh Lavachaya. And I would know that Behema is Bechlal Chaya. This is the relevancy that we're saying for this halacha, that Behema Temeya is included in the Chaya Temeya. So says Rebbe, Behema Lama Nemra. So why does it say there in the Pasuk, seemingly superfluous, that this halacha applies to a Neveh Lavachaya Temeya and a Neveh Behema Temeya, if Behema is already anyways included in Neveh Lavachaya Temeya? Oh, so therefore, and it's only because of this halacha that now that word is extra, says Rebbe, it's coming to teach the following halacha. Nemrakan behemet temeya, it says over here in the context of this halacha, which we're going to shortly clarify what it is, it says that the violation is regards to a nevela of a behemet temeya, which those words are extra, only because, again, because behemet temeya is b'chal chayet temeya. V'nemel halon, it says over there, regarding to a person that's tamei, that eats kachim. As the Pasuk says in Parashat Sav, v'nefesh ki siga b'chol tamei, if a person who touches anything that's tamei, regarding where he has betumis adam in the tamei of a person, or bebehema tameya, or with a non, because he came in contact with a unclean animal. Now, ma lahalan, just to go over there, the context is tomas kodesh. In other words, we're talking about a person that's tamei that eats kachim. So Afkan, from this extra word that the Gezeirah Shav is telling us, from the word Behemet Temeya in our context, by Karbon Eil V'Yerid, where it says, Oynefesh HaShetiga, which that sounds like, that it's regarding the touching of something that's Tumah, that's going to create a liability of a Karbon Eil V'Yerid, the extra word now is teaches the Gezeirah Shav that there's no liability until you have Tumas Kodesh, where either that he eats Kachim, or that he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. It's for that halacha that we need to have this concept that Rabbi Shmuel says, Behemet Temeya is Bechalal Chaya, because if you didn't have this teaching from Zaysa Chaya, which we had said tells us that Behemet is Bechalal Chaya, then those words, Behemet Temeya, would not be extra, they would not be superfluous in our context to make Gzeirah Shava, and I wouldn't have said that Ekrani Chaya, and then I would know Behema, because I wouldn't. Behema is one thing, Chaya is another thing. The only way we know how to define the context of this pasuk, which is teaching you the liability of Karbon Eil B'Yerid, which is because a person was Tamei, and then he went ahead and he ate Kachim, or he went into the Beis HaMikdash, that's when he's liable for the Schiv of Karbon Eil B'Yerid, is only because Behema Tamei was Bechlal Chaya Tamei, and then you have that word extra to make the Gzeirah Shava to know that it's from a Tumas Kodesh, just like it says the word Behema Tamei somewhere else. And behema tayr b'chal chaya tayr, what's the relevancy of that a kosher behema is included in a kosher chaya? Is liyatzira, is regarding to the act of God of forming the creations. Because by a chaya, by the wild animals, the Torah says in the beginning of Bereshis, it says the terminology of yitzira on it, where it says, v'yitzar Hashem l'kim adam kol chayas asada. Now the relevancy of this is regarding the halacha, if a woman miscarries a species that looks like either a behema, a chaya, or a knife. Because Rameir says, it has the halachic status like a woman who miscarries a child. And therefore the mother has to sit the days of Tumah and has the days of Tara like a regular woman who has birth or who miscarries. Now the reason for this is because regarding the halacha of this miscarriage, Rav Meir says in Nida Daf Chav Beis Mabeis that since it says the terminology of Yetzira, just like it says by regarding the formation of man, so too these chayas have the same halacha as that of man. Now, that only we know the behema tahira from the chayat tahira because it only says the terminology Yetzira by chaya, but we say behema tahira is bechlal chayat tahira. Now, the truth is that really the same halacha would be relevant regarding a behema temeya. To say bechlal chaya temeya is also necessary for this halacha because it only says by chayas terminology of Yetzira. But as we said, we already explained that that's coming to teach a different halacha, chaya temeya bechlal chaya temeya, which is teaching this halacha of Rebbe that we just said before. Again, we're just picking one out of the many halachas that we learn out one from the other one. Now, as the Gemara explains, because it's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Nida needed, it says, Hamapeles min behema chayva, if a woman miscarries, and what comes out is something that looks like a behema, or a chaya, or a naif, or a bird, says the Mishnah, bein tamein, bein tarin, whether it's a non-kosher species, a kosher species, im zachar, if it's a male, then teshav lazachar, so then the woman sits how when the normally miscarriage or birth of a boy, which are 7 days of automatic tumah and 33 days of whatever blood comes out is actually considered tahar. Im nekeva, teshav nekeva, what comes out is a female, she sits like when she has a girl, which are 2 weeks of tumah and 66 days of tahara. And if any yadua, and if it's not clear if it's a male or female, then she takes on the stringencies of both. Teshav lazachul nekeva, she sits like what would be the stringency of a boy and a girl, which is 2 weeks of tumas of leda of a girl, which even if she doesn't say any dam, maybe she gave birth to in the keva, and therefore even without saying any dam, she has a tumah of leda of 2 weeks. And then only is limited to the Yimei Tahara of what would be of a Zachar, which is 40 days, because maybe it was a Zachar, maybe it was a male. That's the Rav Meir. And then again, that's the relevancy of this halacha, according to Rav Meir, where that she has halacha, even if it's like a behemo, where do you know that from? You actually know it from a chaya, because it's only by chaya that says Lashon Yetzira, and we learn the behema tahira from chaya tahira, which again would also be by behema temeya from chaya temeya. Now, Chomer, the sages say that no, they disagree with the halacha of Rav Meir, because she'ena mitzuras adam ein vlad, whatever does not have the formation of a human is not considered a child to have this whole halacha of geledus. Now, the Gemara goes back to the previous daf and asks on the halacha of our Mishnah, Ul Rabbanon, that they disagree with Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So high kra, this pasuk that we ultimately brought that as the source of Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who disagrees with the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yisrael Glili said that the fetus of a non-kosher animal is tamei if it's dead inside. Whereas regarding the kosher animal, the fetus is tahar inside. Not like the Tanakama who said that it's always going to be tahar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak had brought a source from a pasuk which spoke about Tumas Nevelis, only spoke about Behemet Tameis. So Rav Nachman had explained, so what's that coming to say? Isn't Tumas Nevelis by kosher animals too? No, it's referring to the uber, to the fetus that's dead inside. It's only by non-kosher animals that the fetus will transmit Tumas. That's what Gris Eglili. So says the Gemara, high crow according to Rabban and Lamali. What do they need it for? Obviously not to say that differentiation because they don't agree to the halacha. Says the Gemara, actually, they learned the whole pasuk like Rebbe, and we had referenced this in the previous daf regarding Rabbi Yisrael Glili, that actually needed the two interpretations of Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak for that reason. The Chacham don't agree to this, and they learn that when it says there in that pasuk, Chaya Temeya, that the Nevela transmits to him, is just teaching regarding the Chaya Temeya. This that it says, Behema Temeya, like we said before, is those words are extra, because Behemah Bechlal Chaya is teaching Gzeirah Shavah. Now, once we had to tell you the halacha of Behemah Temeya for the Gzeirah Shavah, so it also said with it the halacha of Chaya, which, you're right, seemingly that's superfluous, but we're not going to learn on the halacha of Nachum B'Yitzchak from over there, which actually learned on from the Chaya Temeya, because every parsha that's repeated another time in the Torah is only repeated because of the novelty that's coming to teach. And it's only coming to teach the novelty of the halacha of Rebbe, not to teach the halacha of Nachum B'Yitzchak, and therefore you don't learn out from that halacha. Rabbi Yisrael Glili is only coming to teach this teaching of Rebbe according to the Chum. Again, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, you learn out both halachas. As we said, that's what actually the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak comes to tell us, that don't interpret this pasuk only for the teaching of Rebbe. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, similar vein of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about a dead fetus inside an animal. Here it talks about regarding a human being. Ha'isha shemeiz v'lod b'teich me'eha, a woman that her fetus died inside her uterus. And the midwife stuck her hand inside and touched the dead fetus inside. Says the Mishnah, so the midwife is tummy for 7 days, as one becomes when one is in contact with a dead person. But the woman is pure until the fetus comes out. She does not become tummy from the dead fetus inside of her. Now, relating to this halacha, the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi says, Kashem shetuma blua, ein metama, just like an absorbed tumma, something that's consumed, that's inside something, does not transmit tumma to other things, as the Gemara is going to bring explicitly from a pasuk later on. Kach tahara blua, ein metama. So too, something that's pure, that's absorbed, like for example, if let's say someone swallows a ring that's tahar, and he goes into an oil where there's a mess, that ring does not become tummy, as the Gemara is going to learn out from a Kabbal Chaimer. So the Gemara first explains, Tumma Balu Menolan. Where do we know this halacha, that a tumma that's absorbed does not go ahead and transmit tumma to other things? Says the Gemara, the Chassid, because it says in the Pasuk in the Yikra, it says, but someone eats from the dead carcass, he has to wash his garments, and then he's tummy until the evening. Says the Gemara, so we're saying that someone becomes tummy because he ate from carcass, a dead animal carcass is tummy. If you touch it, he eats it. So he eats it, has to even wash his garments. Says the Gemara, Milo Yaskina and the Achal, isn't it even talking about where he ate the nevela, where he ate it, Samuch Lishkiya Sachama, right before it got dark, right before the sun set, where the food's still sitting in the stomach, it wasn't yet digested. And still, Vukam Rachman Atar, the Torah is saying, okay, you became tummy, and not only did you become tummy, your garments too, because not only did you touch the nevela, you even ate it. So they're saying, okay, you're tummy, and you have to go ahead and immerse yourself, and then when it comes nighttime, then you're tar, which is right when the sun sets. But he ate it a few minutes before the sun set. So obviously we see that since that tummy nevela is absorbed inside the person's stomach, in regards to halachas of tumma, we view it already as if it's digested. Now, the reason is because you can't say that the reason why it does not transmit tumma anymore, even though, what if it's still tummy, how does it become tar? It's touching him, it's inside. Maybe you'll say, no, the reason why it's not metame him is because of a different halacha. Not because it's absorbed, because of what's called magabesa sasarim. When you have something that's concealed, that's not visible, that's not metame, and the inside of the person is concealed. No, because if that would be the case, then it should still transmit tumma to the person with what's called masa. Not of touching, but of movement, of carrying, of making it move, which the Gemara says need of membez membez, although tumma spesis arm is not metame through maga, through touch, but it is metame through masa. So obviously from the fact that a person is actually tar, even though he's moving it around after it gets dark, is because once it absorbs, it prevents it from being metame anything, including the person himself. So as the Gemara, no, it's no raya from there. Because with Dimashani Hasam, maybe that halacha is different. The reason why that nevela is not metame the person is because the leichaz yiliger. It's not fit anymore for the resident convert, who is a ger toishav, who is not a full-fledged Jew, but he keeps some halachas, where the pasuk tells in the Varm Yudal, it says, leiseichel kol nevela, now let it eat a nevela. It says, leger shebesherecha v'geimer, you should give it to the ger toishav, give him the nevela. Which teaches us, only the type of meat that's fit for a human, like a ger, that's called nevela. If it's not fit for a ger, it's not called nevela. So here, it's not fit for ger anymore. It's already in this person's intestines. So maybe that's why it's not metama, because it doesn't have tumas nevela anymore. But who said that if it was still fit for a ger, or if it was a bona fide tumma, like some other type of tumma, that it wouldn't transmit tumma because it's blue? So on that, the Gemara clarifies the question and says, ha nicha, we could understand that it would be very good that you want to bring your source from this pasuk. If you would be going to Rabbi Yechonah, because the Amah that he says in Masechtas Becharis of Chokim al Manalav, he says, Achazu vi Achazu, both regarding being metame a person, and both for being metame things that are lower levels could be metame, that of food items, where he says both of them are going to be metame, the person or the food items, is Adli Kalev. Until the thing that's tame, let's say this Nevela, until it becomes invalid, it's inedible even for dogs to eat it. Because the pasuk that makes it sound like that, no, even if just a human consumption is much more delicate than that of a dog. It sounds like once a ger can't eat it, it's already not metame. That is only, says Rabbi Yechonon, if it's spoiled when an animal is still alive. But if, let's say, when it became a nevela at the time of death, it was edible for a ger, and therefore it had the designation of nevela, then actually Rabbi Yechonon says it does not lose its title of nevela until it's not even edible for a dog. Now, over here we're saying that, okay, but So anyone, when this person was eating the nevela, it was fit for a ger. You're only saying it's not fit for a ger because it's in this guy's stomach. But that's not necessary anymore to be edible for a ger. We said it has to become so inedible that even for a dog. Now, if he ate a few minutes before the sun set, and now it's a few minutes later after the sun set, that's still edible for a dog. So shapi, yes, that would be a good proof to show, so why isn't it mitami the person? For a person, it should be mitami, because it would still be edible for a dog. So obviously, the reason is because he had tumah balua. Once it's absorbed, that's why it's not being mitami the person, not with mago, not with masa. Fine. But our question is, but according to Bar Pada, Dama, that he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. And he says, tumah chamura, for the stringent requirement of tumah, which is even to be mitami a person, there he says, it's called nevela as long as it's edible, leger. For a ger, for human consumption. But from that point on, then it's not considered a nevela to be considered an avatam, a mitami person. The only thing it could be mitami would be food items and beverages. Because with tumah kala, a lighter tumah, you could have even lighter tumahs being mitami food items, that's ad lekelev. That's only up until it becomes inedible for a dog to eat it. Because these items are not any worse than something that touched nevela, which is a rishon l'tumah, which could be mitami food items, in contrast, which cannot be mitami a person. But one thing is that we see that the pasuk is purifying it because mishum d'leichazir legeru, because it's not fit for a ger, and it's not going to be mitami an adam. So you see, according to Bar Pada, you could say the reason why it's going to be tahar, even if he ate a few minutes before shkia, now it's a few minutes afterwards, that it's, since it's inedible for a human, no human would eat that, what went into his stomach, so therefore it's not fit for ger. And that always is the requirement, according to Bar Pada, that it always has to be fit for ger to be mitami adam. So maybe that's the reason why it's not mitami him. How do you know it's because of tumah blua? Says the Gemara, no, because Nehid Leichazi Befana, be right. Although any person, even the Ger Taishim, no matter what it is, would not eat this food that the person ate and then regurgitated and spit it up and then to eat it. So you're right, it's not edible for the Ger in that way. But Shalei Befana, Mechzechazile, but if it was spit up, let's say someone swallowed a piece of food and didn't chew it, and then he spits it up. If someone doesn't realize that someone swallowed it, he might still eat it. It's still edible. So since it's edible, that can't be the reason why it's not mimetame ben nevela, because it's not ruy leger. It is ruy leger, and therefore must be the reason is that a few minutes later, even if the guy would spit it right up, it would still be basically intact, must be because it's tumah balua, and that is a good source, that even according to Bar Pada, that tumah balua is not going to be mitame other things. Says the Gemara, fine, ashkechan tumah balua. We have a source for the first halach of Rabbah, that something that's absorbed tumah does not transmit tumah to anything, including the person that's carrying it. But tahara balua, something absorbed that's tar, that it does not contract tumah, minalam, where do we know this from? It says the Gemara, kalvachem, minalam from a kalvachem. Umakli charis, if we find regarding an earthenware vessel, hamuk of tzamed pasal that's surrounded with a fastening cover on it, she'ena matzla al tumah shebetechim alatame, that it actually does not protect from something tummy inside of it from transmitting tumah to other things. So if let's say inside that kli charis was an olive-sized piece of a dead person inside, that then the fact that it's absorbed in that vessel does not prevent it from being mitami the vessel or the whole oil that it's in, because the Amar, like the Master said in Masechtas Alos, the Mishnah says tumah rutzutza, if there's compacted tumah in the ground, which means to say that there's no airspace of a tefach like making oil, which would then it would trap it in over there, and that's the halachas of tumah. So if it's compacted tumah, but kasva'ila, it breaks forth and goes up all the way in throughout the whole entire hail, even all the way up at the rikia, up until the sky. So we see that even if it's absorbed in the ground, doesn't prevent tumah from coming out. For sure, just being absorbed in the vessel will not stop it from going out. And yet, in spite of that, the halacha is matzal al tahara shebetoichim elatame, but a klicheris mukav tzamed pasul protects something pure inside of it from becoming tame. So if let's say that klicheris mukav tzamed pasul is an oil mess, as the Gemara says in the first parakan of Chafei Merav, that what's inside that klicheris does not become tame. So on that, the Gemara continues on the base and says, so the Kavu Chaimer tells us, adam shematzal tumah shebetoichim elatame. So a person that protects, that actually, if a tummy thing is inside of it, it does not transmit tumah to things on the outside, as we said before. That's what we learned out from the pasuk. So, in the din shematzal atahara shabatechim l'tameis, isn't the kavu chaimer that it's going to protect what's tar inside of it from becoming tummy because it's absorbed? That's the kavu chaimer, because klicheris doesn't stop from tummy going out, but yet protects from tumah from coming in. So, a person that stops even from tumah from coming out, for sure will stop tuma from coming in to making that tara thing that's absorbed and becoming tummy. However, the Gemara asks on the Kal v'chomer, Malik Licheres, how could you compare and learn it off from the earthenware vessel? There it makes sense that logic would tell us that it should protect on something that's pure that's inside of it. Shekin, because there's another leniency that applies in regards to the laws of tuma of Klicheres, where ain mitame megabi. A Klicheres, an earthenware vessel, cannot contract tuma on from its exterior. Time about adam should mitame megabi, but whereas a person that could contract tuma from his exterior, maybe a person is more stringent, and there it will not protect and will be more vulnerable to tuma, and the tar blue and maybe will become tame. Says the Gemara, Ato anam megabi kamrinan. What do you think? Are we learning out the exterior of a person from the exterior of an earthenware vessel that you should ask such a question? We are learning out the inside of a person from the inside of an earthenware vessel. And now to the contrary, most definitely, it's a very strong Kal v'chomer. Because adrabba, to the contrary, the inside of a kli cheres is chomer, is more stringent than the inside of a person. Because actually, the airspace of an earthenware vessel can make it tummy without even touching it. Whereas we don't find such a thing by a person. So therefore, for sure, it's a Kal v'chomer. If the airspace of an earthenware vessel, which does not prevent tuma that's inside of it from going out and being metamei, yet it absorbs the tar inside of it from becoming tamei. So a person that absorbs the tuma inside of it that stops it from going out, isn't it a kal v'chomer that it should protect the tar that's inside of it from becoming tamei, since it's even more lenient, where it does not contract tuma from the airspace of the person inside at all, where you have the b'klicheres, which is more stringent and still has this leniency, for sure that should apply to protect the tahara that's belu inside the person. So it's more fine. Ashkechan b'lua d'lamala. So we have a source regarding if a person has something that's tar that's absorbed inside of him that came through his upper regions, that through his mouth. Like the pasuk which we quoted before says va'ichol menevlasa. If he eats from its nevela, so it's talking about when he eats it, which it gets absorbed from coming through his mouth. B'lua d'lamata, but as the Gemara, if it's absorbed from his bottom regions, where if let's say it was stuck in through his rectal area until it gets absorbed inside of him. Like Rashi says, you would have to describe it as a case of where there's a tube that's inserted, where therefore the tum itself didn't touch the person when it was going inside of him, because then he would be tummy through maga. Rather, now it only was pushed inside of him with some other tube, and now it's only absorbed inside of him. Menalam, from where do we know that after that, once it's already inside of him, it will not be metame him even through masa, since it's absorbed. And an absorbed thing will not be metame a person on his inside, on the bottom, just like when it comes in on the top. So it's like, kavachaymer, never more kavachaymer. Umala, mala, sheno, isi, equal, if when it gets absorbed from his top region, which the mouth itself does not fully digest the food. So it's not really, really so absorbed. It doesn't get part of the person. Yet matzal it still protects, as we said before. So lamata sha'isi equal in the dincha matzal. So the lower regions, which is where the digestive tract primarily is, that it even digests and it really makes it absorbed in the person, makes it part of him, isn't a kal v'chomer that it should protect and that it should be considered absorbed totally in the person, not being metame and not becoming tame. Says the Gemara, klumais equal lamata el al yemala. What do you mean? How's that a kal v'chomer? How do you think it makes things absorbed on the bottom? Isn't it through the top? Because if it doesn't come through the mouth, so then it never gets into the digestive tract to go ahead and become absorbed. So what's that Kal v'chomer? No, the upper is more logical in regard to being absorbed. So the Gemara, no, because the filah equal de lamata rab. Even so, the lower regions is the primary digestive area because the mouth doesn't digest so much until it really goes down to the lower regions. And therefore, if the topper region makes it absorb, for sure the lower region is going to make it absorbed in the person. Says the Gemara, adam. So we have a source that is considered absorbed in the person. B'lur de behemim nol. How do we know it's considered absorbed in an animal? So the Gemara kal v'chomer. Uma adam shemetam mechayim. If a person that's stringent in the laws of tuma, that he can become tummy when they're still alive, yet matzal b'balua, but he protects something that's absorbed inside of him, that it does not get affected from the tuma on the outside. So behemim she'ein metam mechayim. So regarding an animal that cannot become tummy when it's still alive, but behemim doesn't become tummy if it touches a corpse. Ein adin shetatzal b'balua. So it's more lenient in the laws of tuma is not kal v'chomer that it should protect in the laws of balua. So the Gemara, no, mal adam, what we find by a person is shekin tzarech shehiya. We find a leniency by person because regarding being metami the garments that he's wearing, it requires a delay of time Beveis hamanoga, when it goes into a house that has a neg of tzaras, which transmits tumma to whatever comes inside of it, as the pasuk says, va'ba labayis yitma, whatever comes into the house becomes tummy. Now, it doesn't say in that pasuk regarding washing the garments, but there's another pasuk that says, va'oichel babayis, whoever eats in the house, oh, yichabes is begodav, not only does he become tummy, he has to wash his garments too. Now, the Bryson Teres kind of explains, it's not really talking about eating specifically. It's talking about if he delays the amount of time to eat, then he has to wash his garments. So you see that there's a leniency that the garments don't become tummy right away. Tama bebehema, in contrast, how are you going to say a kavuchema to an animal? That it does not require a delay when it comes into the house of a nega. Where if let's say it comes in and it's loaded with garments, they become tummy right away, which is a stringency. As it says, vabalabais, whatever comes in becomes tummy. So maybe a person that's lenient is matzah b'lua and not a behema. Says Gemara, no. Behema de'ena tzricha shehiya beveis hamanuga. This halacha that we're saying, that oh, you're claiming it like a stringency by an animal, that it doesn't need any delay when it comes into the house of a nega, lamai hilchasa. For what halacha did you say that it does not require a delay? Obviously, it's tomat lekelim shal gaba, for garments that are on top of it, because an animal is not something that wears garments. Rather, it carries it like a load. Oh, if it's carrying it like a load, adam nami lebaya. But a person himself also does not then require a delay. Because if he's not wearing the garments, he's just carrying them on his shoulder and comes in, they're also by a person that's going to become tummy right away. So we don't find any stringency of a behema in contrast to a person to say that it would refute the kavuchemer. And therefore, there's still a kavuchemer from adam to behema, because behema is more lenient than that of adam. Because it's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Negoim that says, hanichnas lebeis hamanuga. Someone enters into the house that has a neg of tzaras. V'kelev al kaseifav, and his garments are on his shoulders. V'sandalu v'taba'isa b'yadav, and his sandals and his rings are in his hands, meaning in his fist, not wearing it as one normally does on his finger. Then hu v'hein t'mein miyad. Then him and the garments become tummy right away, because then the garments are just like v'abal abayis, whatever comes into the house. Now, this that we had said, that there's a leniency of delay, that's only wearing, which is not a stringency by animal, because the animal never wears. Hayalavish kelev. If, however, the person was wearing his garments, v'sandala baraglav, and the sandals were on his feet, v'taba'isa be'etzboi, and his rings were on his finger, oh, then it's classified as his garments. That, as the pasuk says, v'oichel b'bayis echabes es bogodav, whoever eats in the house, which is said means to say delay the amount of eating, then he washes his garments. Oh, that's where hutame meyat. That's where, okay, the person becomes tame right away. But vehein tyrant, then the garments are pure. Ashe yishe bechteachil is pressed until he delays the amount of time that it takes to eat a half of a loaf, which is the type of loaf that's used for an Erev Tchumen, which is that you have to be considered as if that's your Shabbos residence where you want to walk another 2,000 amas, which is that you need food for two meals on Shabbos, which are eight eggs worth, as the Gemara says, Erev Daf Pebeis and Mebeis. Half of that, which is one meal's worth, which is four eggs, that's the amount of what's called, if you stay the amount of time it takes to eat that amount of bread. Now, specifically, what type of bread? Paschit and b'lipasayim, wheat bread and not barley bread, which is easier to eat, with the wheat bread. And nesav oich b'liftan, where he's reclining, he's eating with relish, which is very easy to eat. Wheat bread, reclining, and with relish, that's the amount of time that is considered b'chdeichel is pras, which is different measurements in the mefarshim, exactly how much time that is. That's the amount of time that his garments will become tummy. But again, that's not a leniency of a person versus an animal. And therefore, we know the animal has this halacha from b'matzal b'balua, from a kavuchemer, from a person. Now, on these two halachas of Rabba, Omer Rava, Rava asks, what's Rabba teaching us? Tarvayu tenini, both of his halachas are explained in a Mishnah, Masechtas Mikvayos. Tumah b'lua tanina. We have a Mishnah teaching us that when you have tumah absorbed, it does not transmit tumah. And tahar b'lua tanina. We have a Mishnah also telling us that when you have something tar absorbed, that it does not become tummy. As the Gemara explains, tumah b'lua ditnan. We learned the halacha that an absorbed tumah does not transmit tumah in the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos. Mishnah says bala tabas tameya. If a person swallows a ring that was tummy, it had tumas mess. Meaning any metal vessel that touches a dead person has the halacha like the dead person itself. As the Gemara said in the beginning of the Masechta of Gimel Menalf, Cherev Harei Kachal, the sword has the halacha like the dead person himself. So this ring is metami, and this metami even the person is like an avatama. So if the person swallows the ring, so he's tummy. So then Toivel, he has to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikvah, because he became tummy when the ring touched him before he swallowed it, before it got absorbed in his body, on his way down. But once he immersed himself, so he's pure. And after he went through the purification process, then he could go ahead and eat his truma, because now that it's absorbed in the stomach, it does not transmit tumatim, which that's the source of halacha number one, where something that's tummy and it's absorbed cannot be metame. Now, however, says the Mishnah later on, Hikia. But if let's say at one point that the kain then spits it up, so then Tameya, it will be Metamim, because the ring always remained tummy, because the person immersing did not consider it as a purification for the ring that's tummy inside of him. And Vitamatoi. So the ring is tummy, and it's going to be Mitame the person, because it's touching him now on its way out. Now, that's one halacha again that we learned, that when it's absorbed, tumah, it's not going to be metamehem. Now, tahara b'lua tanin, and we also learned that regarding the absorbed tahara thing, that it does not become tumah, did not, as we learned in that same Mishnah, Mesechtas Mikvais. Mishnah says, bala tabas tahirif, let's say he swallowed a tahar ring, v'nichnas lo'il ames, and it goes into an oil where there's a dead person, which transmits tumah, whatever's inside that covering. So this person became tummy. So behiza, he went through the purification process of becoming tar from a dead person, which is the same thing in the oil. So behiza, he gets sprayed with the ash of the paradim on day 3. Vishan, and then he repeats it on day 7. And then after that purification with tavel, he immerses in the mikvah. And now he's tar. But then the kiyah, he spits up that ring, says the Mishnah, Ari kamesha haisa. That ring is as it always was before he swallowed it, which is tar, because it never received the tumah from the person which was inside of him, because it was absorbed. And something absorbed does not become tummy, even from the person that has absorbed it. Because if you would think that the ring was tummy, then how can you say that it's as it originally was, although you want to say maybe it became tummy, but then it became tar, like the person became tar, but the ring itself never immersed. The immersion of the person doesn't help for the ring. Now, the reason why we pick specifically the case as that the person sprayed himself and repeated and immersed himself and only then did he spit up the ring is because actually if he would spit it up before he went to the mikvah, then you're right, the ring would become tummy when it touches the person as it's on the way out. Just like if it's metame him when it's tummy on the way out. But one thing is that we see is that since it's tahara blua, it does not become tummy. So ask Rava, you have both of the halachas in the Mishnah Mesechtas in Mesechtas Mikvais. Says the Gemara, Ki kama Rabba, when did Rabba say he's teaching? Kigun shabala shtei tabois. It's like when a person swallows two rings, achas tamei of achas tar, once tummy, once tar. And that's what he's teaching from the way he's defining these two halachas, dulo mitami lo tamei lo tar, that the tummy ring will not be mitami the tar ring. Why? Even though seemingly the halachas of Rabba were taught in that Mishnah, if we had only learned it from that Mishnah Mesechtas Mikvais that says, that's regarding halacha number one, that if he swallowed a tummy ring, then he could immerse himself and he could eat, which would sound like that it does not, it's not contaminating the person because it's absorbed inside of him. I would have said, actually, the reason is not because it's absorbed inside of him, but rather, as we alluded to this other halacha earlier, because it's maga beis asarim. It's touching him in the concealed area, which is not considered the halacha of maga regarding the laws of tumah, as the Gemara says in Masechta Znei, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, additionally, regarding a ring, you can't say, okay, what do you mean? Even though it's based on sarm, but we mentioned this before, tumah based on sarm is not metame through maga, but it is metame through masa by moving it around, not because it's touching, but because he's causing it to move. No, because the tumah of masa is only something that the tumah originates from it itself, like a mess. A mess is what creates the tumah. A nevela creates the tumah. A zav, his fountains, his urine, all those things, they create the tumah. But a tummy mess, like this ring, which became tummy from something else, even though it's an avatumah, because it takes on the same status as the mess itself, there it is not going to have halacha of tumas masa. So therefore, it must be we would still think that it would be because of tumas beis asar. So to regarding the second halacha, by the tahar ring, where we learned that it's not going to become tummy because of the person who went into the oil hames, then we would also say, maybe because it's touching the person in the concealed area, therefore it does not become tummy. But when the person swallows two rings, one tar, one tamay, where there doesn't apply this halacha besa sesarim, because although they're both inside the person, that would be like when you have two rings inside a box. That we don't consider besa sesarim, concealed area. For the person it's concealed, but for the rings it's not concealed. It's like having two rings in the box. And then they should become tamay. That's what Rabbi's come to teach. No, that the reasoning of those two halachas, you're right, those two halachas are already referred to in the Mishnah Mesechtas Mikvais. But is he qualifying it, which has relevancy regarding when the person swallows two rings, one tummy, one tar, is because it's absorbed, because it's balua. And therefore, even the other ring, which would become tummy if the whole halacha was only because of tummy versus arm, it would become tummy, says Rabbi, no, the rings, one ring will not be metame the other wing, because simply because it's absorbed in the person, and something absorbed in the person cannot be metame, and it's, if it's tar, it cannot become tummy, and that's what he's teaching, which we don't know already from the Mishnah Mesechtas Mikvais.